I'm very keen on time, and so we'll have you, once I call you, come up. You'll be given an opportunity to, talk about your entity. And if you have two testifiers, so that's like 2.5 minutes each, right? But the committee can ask you questions as long as they like, right? If there's something that you did not cover, something you did not say, they have the opportunity without being constrained by time to ask you questions. So I often think that it's important, if it's more than one of you, that you don't repeat what the other person said, that you build your testimony on what has already been articulated. So with that, as you know, the co-convener, I like to say, is Representative Hassan, and she's going to take over later on some same and similar. And we try to do the best that we can to work together, because we want to end up having a bill that makes sense. And we have Representative Jung, who is in charge of the workforce side, and then Representative Nelson, who does the labor component. And once my colleagues get here who are on Senate time, then I'll be happy to introduce them too. So now you have empty chairs. So when they come and go, oh, that's his colleague, just nod your head and do this, okay? So with that being said, we know that there's a time constraint for the representative from Ramsey County from their milestone program. If you would join us at the table. And just know that I see that you have support that's coming up, but not everyone's going to speak for 5 minutes. I just want you to be clear on that. And once you are placed at the table there, if you'd be so kind as to introduce yourself for the record and then proceed with your testimony, because we want to know more about your program, what you do, and why we should provide funding for you in our bill. With that being said, to the first testifier.
Good afternoon. My name is Lynn Becker, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm the workforce director for Ramsey County and the City of St. Paul, and I'm very happy today to be here to support Milestone's IT training project. Ramsey County has been really committed to supporting community-based organizations in a new and unique way through our CARES Act funding, as well as our American Rescue Plan funding, connecting to more intentional holistic services. So that partnership really allows Milestone's program to sort of leverage the other resources the county has. This program is a proven program. We've actually funded one cohort of this program with county American Rescue Plan Act dollars with excellent outcomes. We appreciate Mr. Amin and his team and Milestone's intentionality to support truly wraparound services for young people trying to get into tech. Yesterday at our Board of Commissioners, the county proclaimed May to be Tech Month in coordination with the Governor's Proclamation, and it really is an excellent industry for diverse young people to be able to get into, and it is a difficult one unless you have some opportunity to provide some short-term training. And so we're happy to support this. And throughout the experience, I attended classes over at North Central University to see the students in action with the instructors. And I also was able to attend their very inspiring graduation. So this program has something that the state should support, and Ramsey County is proud to be a partner.
Thank you so much. To the next testifier, identify yourself for the record.
My name is Haikal Ahmed, and I was a student of the Milestone Community Tech Program. I can say, actually, for me, it was very hard for me to get into tech. And with the help of North Central University, Milestone Tech, and Ramsey County, I can say, for me to get into tech, it was really, really easy for me. That's what I can say, with the help of Milestone Community Development. And I would like to express my strong support for the funding of Milestone Community Development, Milestone Tech Program. As a recent graduate of the program, I can attest to the incredible impact it has had on my life. Me, actually, as a tech guy, and I really, really love, playing with technology. Like, I like to build computers. I like to program them. I like to build websites. All those, I can say, it was my dream. But actually, Milestone, it made it possible. You know, the IT support and data analytics certificate program provided me with the skills and the knowledge I needed to enter the technology industry with confidence, actually. The program focuses on communication, collaboration, integration, and automation, supported by North Central University Computer Science Program and College of Business and Technology faculty, ensured that I achieved and I received a well-rounded education that prepared me for success. The Milestone Community Tech Program is a shining example of what can be achieved through strong partnerships and a commitment to empowering individuals with the skills they need to succeed. And I'm grateful for the opportunity, and I'm grateful to be part of this program, and urge you to support this continued success.
Thank you so very much, and thank you for that. And just so others will know that I will cut you off at 2 minutes because we want to make sure that we're mindful of the other people who wants to speak. To the third testifier, identify yourself for the record and provide us your testimony.
Thank you. My name's Simon Troutman. I'm a Richfield City Council member and also an attorney. I have on occasion provided legal services for Milestone Community Development, but I'm not here as a lawyer, as a council member. I'm here as a neighbor and a witness to the great work that Milestone Community Development has been engaged in. Prior to the program and the partnership with Ramsey County, I've had the opportunity to interact with their graduates, folks that have gone through their internships. And I know I'm not repeating myself when I say there's a crisis of hope amongst young adults. And I can just testify to the powerful transforming effect, not just of being given training, but given the opportunity to engage in professional environments and talking to those young people that just have more than hope in their eyes. They have ambition and they have a clear vision ahead. I was also able to attend lectures at North Central University. Professor Colin Miller is excellent, and I think our student here would testify he's rigorous in his coursework and his lectures and his expectations, and to see and be a part of that graduation still just gives me joy and confidence and hope for what this program is accomplishing. And I'd also just add briefly that I'm here supporting this organization because of the integrity of the leaders, and they've always been better than their word.
Thank you so very much to the testifiers, and first of all, thank you to each one of you who did testify today. Now we're going to reserve some time for committee members to ask you questions. Representative Young.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To all testifiers, I want to thank you for being here today, and especially to a testifier who shared his story. I have witnessed, members, just want to assure of you all that I have witnessed firsthand the program, which is in my district, of the impact that it has made to the community members in the East Metro. And so I would encourage those of you who are not aware of the Milestone program to go and visit. And I also grateful for Ramsey County's partnership with Milestone, and especially Mr. Muhammad Amin for reminding me of the impact that they have made in the community. I do have one quick question. Since we have Ramsey County here, I mentioned to staff that I also wanted Ms. Becker, if you could briefly talk about the Ramsey County Pathway Program too, that we're also trying to fund here for Ramsey County. So if you could give us like a minute or so, if you could, Mr.
Yes.
Chair.
Ms. Becker, to the point raised by Representative Zhang.
Yeah, Representative Zhang and committee members, I'm happy to address the other project as well. In about an hour and a half here, we are about to over be at Neighborhood House do a press conference about the digital divide in Ramsey County. And we just wrapped up a project called the Connectivity Blueprint, where we engage community members within Ramsey County, especially those who've really had the pandemic impact their ability to work, to be able to receive health care, to be able to advance their, you know, kind of agency in life because of the digital divide. And so this project's actually a blend of trying to close some of those gaps of the digital divide, as well as provide a pathway program. So that program is designed for low-income census tracts in Ramsey County to train young people who live in those communities to actually become trained in technology to be able to provide digital access and support through some of our community-based locations to be able to serve some of their elders and others in the community. So imagine kind of like the Best Buy kind of Geek Squad model, but these young people would actually live in the communities and bring some of that in-person interaction back into the communities for some of the folks that actually, you know, still need technology, but actually be able to benefit from being able to learn how to use them and have more access to some of the digital literacy tools. So we're really excited about this project. Something that young people have told us they want to do. They want to give back to their community and their elders. And older folks are saying they want to be able to access these skills as well. And so it feels like a win-win situation for our community to build a chance for people to stay connected in a new digital world.
Thank you so much. A follow-up, Representative Young?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Becker, I want to thank you again. I know that that was a short notice to you, but I knew you had this broken down. And so I really want to thank you and Ramsey County Commissioners Rena Moran and Ramsey County Commissioner Mike Chong Zhong for also supporting this program. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we can have this program also make some impact in the communities.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, testifiers, for your brief testimony, but very important. I want to highlight that the importance of technology is the future. We know that, our world is becoming more addicted to this little things. You can do anything with this. And then we also know that, our young people that live in certain communities that, if your parent doesn't have the resources to put you through boot camp in the summer where you learn how to, do web designs and, do all these different things, then you won't have. What you don't know doesn't exist. So I attended the Milestone graduation program, and I was impressed that there were a lot of young people who graduated this program. It was an intense program. I believe it was a month long or so. It was a short period of time. I'm like, I don't know if I would ever, be able, my brain is too old now, that if I will learn something. But the young people that spoke like how intense the program is and how much they have learned in such a short period of time. So I want to say thank you guys for doing this, and thank you for addressing the digital divide in our, great Minnesota communities across the state, because we know that in reality that, people from the urban core a lot of times don't have access to these programs because they don't exist. So thank you very much.
All right, thank you so much. Any other questions from the committee? Seeing none, thank you so very much, and we sincerely appreciate you being here. Members, we have been joined by some Senate members. I did mention that my Senate members were on Senate time, but we are so excited to have them. And I want you to know that that I did not want to neglect to say that today is Senator Muhammad's birthday today. Happy birthday. So just be clear, that's the only reason why I'm not giving her a dirty look right now. Because it's her birthday today. We are so appreciative of all her great works. I'm going to go on now to the representatives from Cairo. So, Nasra and Abdi. If you come to the table, because I know some of you got here late, and we appreciate you being here. But to the testifiers, just because I like to make sure that we reset everything, each testifier is going to be given 2 minutes to talk a little bit about the program itself, and we ask that you not repeat what the other person said, but build on that testimony so we get a really good sense of what this program is about. Once you finish your testimony, then we'll open it up to the committee, and they'll be able to ask you questions, unlimited questions, okay? So thank you so much for being here, and we sincerely appreciate you being here. So identify yourself for the record, whoever's going to go first, and provide us your 2 minutes of testimony.
Thank you so much, both the Senate and everybody here in this room. My name is Abdi Ibrahim. I'm with Cairo as Programs and Development Manager. And I would like to invite my colleague to introduce herself to you.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Thank you for having us here. My name is Nasr Mohammed. I am a licensed teacher working at Cairo at the after-school program, so just helping kids outside of school and making sure that they have everything that they need in order to flourish.
So today we were supposed to have a testimony by one of the beneficiaries of our program, but due to the limitation of time, she wasn't able to be here in person. And Zoom was not an option, so we decided to bring her testimony, and my colleague Nasra would read her testimony, and then I would read also our program piece.
Yep, so I will be speaking on behalf of her, and I will be reading her speech today. Honorable President and Chair, Senator Champion, and esteemed co-chair Senator Mohammed, our own Senator Putnam, and distinguished committee members, my name is Zahra Hirsi, and today I stand before you as a testament to the power of opportunity and the transformative effect of Cairo's workforce development programs for Black immigrants and refugees in central Minnesota. My journey has been challenging, but through the support of Cairo's bilingual CDL program, I was able to maintain my CDL license A and secure a stable income to support my extended family in Willmar, Minnesota. This would not have been possible with Cairo's culturally sensitive and inclusive approach. I have faced multiple rejections from multiple workforce development sites in our region, confronted with doubts about my English proficiency and inquiries about childcare arrangements. Yet, Cairo saw my potential and committed to helping me achieve my goals, including credential acquisition and job placement. In February of this year, I secured a job as a CDL driver with Trans System Services, where I started to make good wages. Now, I ask you to join me in supporting Cairo as they seek funding to continue their vital work, extending their reach and making a positive impact on the lives of Black immigrants and refugee communities in our states. As a proud beneficiary of Cairo's programs, I urge these esteemed committee to recognize the immense value of their initiatives and grant them the necessary funding to expand and enhance their services. In doing so, we take a vital step towards building a more inclusive, diverse, and economically vibrant Greater Minnesota. In closing, I stand before you as an example of what can be achieved when barriers are removed and potential is nurtured. By supporting Cairo, you empower countless Black immigrants and refugees to overcome obstacles, fulfill their dreams, and contribute to the prosperity of our beloved state. I thank you for your time and consideration, and I hope you will join me in standing with Cairo and the communities they serve. Thank you very much.
Honorable President and Chair, Senator Champion, esteemed co-chair Senator Mohammed, our own Senator Padnam, and distinguished committee members, my name is Abdi Ibrahim, and I'm the Manager of Programs and Development at Cairo. I'm honored to speak before you today to emphasize the critical importance of our work in providing workforce development programs and services for Black immigrants and refugees in central Minnesota. Cairo was founded on the principles of promoting equal access to opportunities for our Black immigrant and refugee communities. We firmly believe that every individual deserves the chance to succeed, regardless of their background or circumstance. Our culturally sensitive and inclusive approach to workforce development has made significant difference in the lives of countless people like Zahra Hirsi, who just spoke before you today. As the Manager of Programs and Development, I have witnessed firsthand the transformative impact of Cairo's initiative. We have enabled people to overcome language barriers, cultural differences, and systemic challenges. Our programs not only help individuals secure sustainable employment, but also foster a sense of belonging and pride within their communities. However, our work is far from complete. There's growing need to expand our reach and provide even more tailored services to the diverse communities we serve beyond Greater Minnesota. With your support today, we can continue to develop innovative workforce development programs that meet the specific needs of Black immigrants and refugees, ensuring that everyone has an equal chance to thrive in our great state of Minnesota. I appeal to the experience of Zahra Hirsi, a shining example of resilience and determination, who, with our support, has successfully navigated the challenges faced by many in our community. Her story is testament to the potential that lies within each individual when given the opportunity and the support to succeed. Honorable committee members, we need your help to continue our vital work. The funding you provide will allow us to expand our workforce development programs in the healthcare, transportation, and information technology.
All right, and are you almost done?
Almost.
All right, so I'm gonna let you have one more sentence.
Okay, by investing in Cairo, you're investing in the future of countless individuals, families, and communities that form the backbone of our great state. In closing, I humbly request that you grant Cairo the necessary funding to continue and expand our services. By supporting our organization, you are empowering Black immigrants and refugees to realize their dreams and contribute to the vibrant tapestry of our society. Let's come together to create a brighter future for all Minnesotans, driven by the inspiring example set by individuals
all right.
like Zahra.
All right, sounds good. I got it.
Thank you. Thank you.
I got it. Now, thank you so much for being here. I sincerely appreciate it. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the testifiers. You said mentioned central Minnesota. Could you just speak a little bit about the geography of where you serve?
To the testifier.
So central Minnesota is it includes the area around St. Cloud and all the way to Monticello. But the black immigrant community is concentrated around St. Cloud area. But we do have requests from all over the state, including Wilmer and even Minneapolis and St. Paul. People call us when they had about our programs. They call the office and say, hey, you know, I'm interested in your program. How am I able to take advantage of that program? But last time, due to the limitation of funding, we were able to serve few people. With this time, knowing what we are, the potential that's there for the community, we're expecting more funding to support that work.
And do you have a follow-up, or are you okay? Any other questions from the committee? Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, testifiers, for your testimony. It is vital to support, you know, the immigrant community and refugees when they get here. My family started in Jacksonville, Florida, in the early 90s, where there were no interpreters, no services for immigrants, and that's how we ended up here. But I'm extremely proud and happy to hear the programs that you're doing and the support that you're providing for people that really need support. I'm very familiar with the St. Cloud area, Somali community and immigrants, and I am very familiar with Cairo. I have visited their office. I know their work. So I want to thank you, and I'm glad that we are doing this work with you and alongside with you. So thank you.
And we also want to thank Senator Putnam, because Senator Putnam has done a really wonderful job of highlighting St. Cloud and the community, as well as you'll hear later from Central Minnesota's Community Empowerment Organization, and they'll come up later. But one of the things that we've been trying to do is make sure that we touch on every aspect of the state, because we find that there are communities that look like all of us all over the state. Any other questions to the testifiers before we go to the next testifier? Seeing none, thank you so much, and thank you for driving down from St. Cloud. I'm sure that you didn't have to use your GPS to get here, did you?
We did.
Okay.
No. I got some more copies. Who would I give to?
Absolutely. If you give it to one of the pages on the end, they'll make sure that they distribute it to the committee. So thank you again. We sincerely appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having us.
We're now going to Jill Sims with Hospitality Minnesota. Welcome to the committee, and once you get settled, will you be so kind as to state your name for the record and then give us your 2 minutes of testimony about Hospitality Minnesota, what it is, and why you are before us today.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jill Sims. I'm Director of Government Relations at Hospitality Minnesota. We represent Minnesota's restaurants, lodging, resort, and campground sectors. Thank you for the opportunity to share more about the online hospitality training program. The pandemic put a significant strain on hospitality and tourism industries, and our businesses are still recovering. The biggest challenge we face is workforce. Currently, we have a workforce shortage of around 15,000 workers from pre-pandemic levels. Today, when employers are able to hire new workers, generally that worker has little to no experience in the hospitality or tourism industry, putting added pressure onto our businesses that are already stretched thin. To help alleviate this pressure and prepare our workforce, establishing an online hospitality and tourism training program will help provide an efficient and effective way to provide customer service and soft skills to new workers. Additionally, this training program can provide knowledge about Minnesota hospitality and tourism offerings geared to help spur economic activity in communities across our state. The ask included in the Senate version includes a $350,000 appropriation to establish the program with an ongoing $25,000 appropriation for maintenance costs. The program will be free to Minnesota residents and organized into modules that may be easily accessed with a mobile-friendly format. Each module will include videos upon other learning resources and a certificate provided upon completion of the program. The program has proven to be effective in our neighboring state of South Dakota, where workers and employers have access to the state-tailored 10-module program. We believe this small investment in our hospitality workforce will pay dividends well into the future to support our employees, our employers, and visitors to the state of Minnesota. Today, we ask for your support to establish an online hospitality training program to help our state provide workers with these important skills, along with the knowledge needed to promote Minnesota's hospitality and tourism assets. And I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And members, before you get to questions, what we did allow for today is sometime for a representative from the organization to come before us, because with the short turnaround of us calling this meeting and wanting them to be here, there was some scheduling challenges, but we wanted to make sure that we got the information before the body. The Senate has heard all of these, with the exception of we have a couple conferees who's hearing some for the very first time, but all the other senators have heard about these proposals. Any questions for Ms. Sims about Hospitality Minnesota? Yes.
Thank you for being here and for your testimony. I just have a question in terms of if you have any data or if you've thought about the fact that access to broadband could be a barrier for some folks that are interested in your program, and if there are any plans to sort of address that.
Thank you, Representative Berg. I'm sorry I couldn't see your name at first there, so thank you. So sorry about that. To the testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Berg. I appreciate the question. So I think that is something to certainly take into consideration, and our neighboring state also faces those challenges. This would go through the University of Minnesota Tourism Center, which I believe would also help ensure that we are able to provide access to all. And we, of course, advocate for expansion of broadband, as it's really important whether, you know, you're a resort up on the Gunflint Trail in Senator Hochschild's district or whether you're a business in Burnsville, right? It's really important that we find ways to get everyone that access. So that is certainly something that would be on the table, and we should certainly look to our neighbors to understand how they better did that, because we want every Minnesotan to have this resource available to them.
Good question there. Thank you, Representative Berg. Do you have a follow-up?
Just real quick. Thank you.
Representative Berg.
It's very helpful to know that you're partnering with the University of Minnesota for this. I must have missed that in the testimony. So through them, is there a way for folks to come on campus and use computers there to help complete the program?
To the testifier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Berg. It's through the extension program through their tourism center, and I do believe there may be that capability, and that would certainly be a priority conversation for us to have with our partners who were unable to attend with me today. But I think that's a really great point that you've made and would certainly be very critical to the success of the program.
Any other questions for the testifier? Seeing them, thank you so much, and thank you for being with us today. We'll now go to Emily Hunt Turner. Ms. Turner, when you get settled, if you'd be so kind as to introduce yourself for the record and tell us all about the organization All Square.
Yeah, you bet. Committee members, thanks so much for having me here today. My name is, Senator Mohammed, happy birthday. My name is Emily Hunt Turner. I am the founder and CEO of All Square. We are a nonprofit social enterprise that exists and is located primarily in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we exist really for one reason, and that's to invest in folks who have been impacted by mass incarceration. As I know many of you know, coming home from prison in particular is just hard. Hard to live, hard to move, hard to secure employment in many fashions. So we exist to sort of send a message and hopefully be part of collective change in the note of sort of All Square, being All Square. And we do that through, of course, our name and our brand, but also through two primary workforce development programs that I'm really excited to briefly describe to you today. The first one is our fellowship program, which travels through our Kraft Grilled Cheese restaurant. I hope you can all come through at some point. It's patio season. But our fellowship exists really to meet folks where they're at when they come home from prison. The fellowship is a year long. It includes employment in our restaurant. It also includes mental health and wellness services. And importantly, it's focused on a 12-week business plan where folks are able to build and craft a business plan, all with the sort of notion that sometimes a good way to circumvent employment barriers is to start your own gig. So that's a big piece of what we do. We also have a fellow fund seeded by the Minnesota Vikings where folks can apply for debt alleviation and seed capital for businesses that are developed during that course. Second part of what we do is our prison to law pipeline, which travels through our law firm anchored here in St. Paul. And the short and quick of that is we exist to really try to put the keys to the law in the hands of those who've really been impacted by the law. So the pipeline is currently facilitating Juris Doctorate and paralegal degrees here in the Twin Cities, both for currently and formerly incarcerated individuals. And we also have our law firm, which exists to be a training ground for those who have been impacted and the scholars traveling through the pipeline, as well as to provide civil legal services. I think that's I hope that's a good summary. I'm happy to answer any questions.
That was a pretty good summary.
Great.
But maybe you answered this.
Sure.
How'd you come up with the name All Square?
It was a nice double entendre with the square grilled cheese. But really, Senator Champion, it was to try to sort of send that message of, you know, once you've served your time, paid your debts, paid your fines, come home, you're all square and free to move forward into a healthy and productive life.
Any other questions for the testifier? Senator Muhammad.
Mr. Chair, I don't have a question, but I just want to speak to the work that they do. These folks are in my district, and I think I might have talked about this when we were first in committee. The first time they had come to me, it might have been the first time that they were in the legislature talking to a member about the work they do and how they needed some funds to continue this work and serve our community. They didn't have a lobbyist, and so when we talk about the work that we do, often some people don't have a lobbyist, and they need the people who represent them to show up for them, and so I support them, not just because their grilled cheese is amazing, which, have you had it yet?
I haven't tried it yet.
You gotta try it. It's the best. It really is. But they just do incredible work, and I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing,
thank
and
you.
Hopefully the members in the committee will support them.
Any other questions for Ms. Hunt-Turner, or is it just Turner?
Hunt-Turner is great.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you to the testifier for your testimony. I am familiar
Madam
with...
Madam Chair?
I
just want to make sure that...
I am so sorry. Well, I mean, Zainab was the last person that spoke.
Oh, okay.
Senator Muhammad, so I'm thinking she was the chair.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, on the record, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Thank you to the testifier. I am familiar with your work. I did eat the grilled cheese and sat in that patio in the summer. It's beautiful work what you do. The message that you're sending to people that if you have done, you know, everybody makes mistakes, but if you have done your time and you want to come back to society, where we want to welcome you and we want to integrate you back into society, so then you don't feel like an outcast forever. That is a really a strong message to send to somebody who may not have all that support. So thank you for your work. The one question I have is, where do you get your referrals, or how do you connect with the people that you work with?
Sure, yeah. Oh, I'm so sorry. My colleague Maya and I just are traveling back today from St. Cloud Prison. Transition fairs have definitely become a big mode of engagement. But beyond that, on the fellowship side in particular, we've had really great relationships with parole and probation officers. Super lucky to just have amazing community partners who are doing amazing work, who have helped us spread the message. And also, I think, press, both that's been distributed in the prison and that's sort of been distributed amongst our community, has really helped kind of just get the word out. So those are some of the key ways. As it relates to the legal part, there's a lot of folks on the inside who are studying law as it is, who are amazing legal minds, and a lot of that has just been building community on the inside to help us understand who those folks are.
Just a follow-up. Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then My other question is, does this funding, like the funding that you're asking today, does it help you expand the program, or is it just to sustain the programs that you have?
Yeah, I mean,
to
both.
Justify.
Oh, yes, thank you. Both on both sides, so we asked for both for the prison to law pipeline and the fellowship. It's about 25% of each program per year. So for us, it's pretty fundamental to continuing the program. On the pipeline side, I think we're looking and speaking into expansion at some point. But for this request, it's definitely focused on keeping this work going.
Any additional questions for the testifier? Seeing none, thank you so much for all the
thank
work
you.
That you do. And I look forward to having one of those R-square grilled cheese sandwiches.
We'll so. Be looking for you.
Thank you so
thank
very
you
much.
Very much.
We will go to our next person, Sally Mixon and Angela Bolkart. I hope I'm pronouncing it correctly. Okay. And come and tell us about your program. And each person will get 2 minutes, and whoever is going to start us off first will introduce themselves for the record, and then we'll go to the second, and then we'll go to the third. So who's going to start us off? All right. Identify yourself for the record, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you, sir. I am Sally Mixon. I'm the founder of Abijah's. I'm super hungry now, so thank you for that. I'm going to have to go. So at Abijah's, we are a mental health organization that has partnered with Canterbury Park. We use retired racehorses to work specifically with our first responder community. At Abijah's, we have licensed mental health professionals who are not only incredible counselors, but they're also certified with this methodology that we use. This methodology that we use, incorporating horses, is a proven therapeutic method. NAMI, which is the National Alliance of Mental Illness, has proven this model. It's incredible what happens. I've personally been doing this work as a clinician for over a decade, and I get to watch miracles every day. I see transformation occur, and our hope bringing this forward is we wanna help our first responders from full retirement. We want to keep them working, recognizing that we can do a better job at supporting that mental health issues because they're going to come up. They're going to arise due to the work that they're doing. And when we can help our first responders stay healthy, I'm a firm believer that they're going to support the population, the community, in a healthy way as well. Healthy people can support healthy people. So we are asking that the House match the Senate position in SF3035, which would provide $250,000 this year and $250,000 next year to specifically go towards helping our first responders through this mental health crisis that we're in. Thank you.
All right, to the next testifier. Thank you so much. Who's going next?
Thank you, sir. I'm Angela Borchert. I'm a police officer. I was a police officer for the city of Northfield for 11 years and with the airport PD for approximately 4 years. Prior to being a police officer, I was a detention deputy for Hennepin County Sheriff's Office. I'm a graduate of Winona State University with a major in both law enforcement and corrections. I'm a third generation police officer where serving my community and helping others was a true calling and continues to ring true. At the end of March of 2022, I knew something wasn't right. I was having trouble concentrating, was paranoid, no short-term memory, and I was vomiting many nights when I lay down to go to sleep. I couldn't quiet my mind. The stigma of other officers finding out I was struggling was enormous. I needed help. Through different contacts and connections, I heard about Abijah's on the backside and decided to reach out. Sally called me immediately, and within 36 hours, I was meeting with her. She explained how the program worked, and when I arrived, I was introduced to the Thoroughbreds, Wave and Boxer, and because they are so intuitive, they immediately began to act out what I was feeling inside. Boxer started running, rearing, and biting Wave. Wave just took it. She moved out of his way and overtook the ring. Wave's moves were solely dependent on Boxer's actions. With the help of Sally exploring my story that was being played out by the horses, it clicked. Boxer and Wave were physically showing me the unidentifiable, the confusion, the flooding emotions and thoughts I was consistently having that kept me from being present in the moment. There's nothing scarier than being a police officer and not being able to be in the moment. As seen, Boxer represented law enforcement in my life. He was constantly there without let up on Wave, who represented my life outside of law enforcement. Law enforcement had overtaken my thoughts, my actions, my emotions. The continuous, never-ending, now what I know as trauma, was controlling me. I have continued weekly with Abijah's. The team at Abijah's and their knowledge of working with police officers was so helpful in identifying my trauma. Because of Abijah's, I am alive and discovering joy once again. Unfortunately, my experiences in law enforcement are common. The unhealthy and stigmatized way we, police officers, are expected to handle those experiences are common. However, having resources, having Abijah on the backside, are uncommon. When they come along, we need to cultivate and support them. The amount of help Abijah's on the backside can provide, given the opportunity, is unquantifiable. $250,000 is a start, but because there are so many of us who need help, I believe $500,000 or more will save more lives and keep more cops from leaving their career early. The shortage of police officers in the state of Minnesota is only getting worse. My hope is officers can find Abijah on the backside earlier than I did to keep those officers in the workforce. Once these amazing thoroughbreds guide them to understand trauma and ways to process it before it is too late.
And if I can say, if you got one more sentence.
I only have one sentence left.
Okay.
I promise it's one. Abijah on the backside sees a need, knows how to help, but needs the funding to get there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for being courageous to talk about how to keep law enforcement and others around. And I see there's one additional person.
I'm just here to answer questions.
All right. Well, that's even better because then I save a little time. Any questions, Representative? Olson?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the testifiers for sharing your story, and that was a very powerful story. I appreciate you being here. Could you just speak a little bit? I know you said you were a police officer. Do you serve other folks in law enforcement as well? I'm seeing a head nod. Great. And then just a little bit about your geography, too, would be helpful. But thank you for being here and for your powerful work.
To the testifier, either one who's going to answer the question.
Yes. So we see law enforcement, firefighters, all different first responders from all over the area, metro area, the suburbs, surrounding areas. We actually have a rollout plan as well, if funding was available, to train up mental health organizations across the state. Who would be specifically focusing on this population and this methodology, because it's a niche, right? And we want to have the best of the best doing it. So we do have that that plan in order to, you know, to roll out when the time would come.
Any follow-up, Representative Olson, Representative Young?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the testifiers for also being here today. This bill was heard in the Public Safety in the House and not in the Workforce Committee, Mr. Chair, so that's why I had requested that we hear this bill here today, and I really appreciate you all being here, sharing with me more about why we should fund this program. And so I just do have a few questions following up on what Chair Olson just said. Can you share with me how many people you have served, and with this funding, how many law enforcement and first response will you be serving?
Yeah. To the testifier.
Yes, so we'd be able to serve, we would do 1,000 sessions per year, and that would serve approximately 50 first responders.
In law enforcement?
In law enforcement, in firefighting, all the first
responders. As defined by the Minnesota statute, it's law enforcement officers and firefighters.
Just a reminder, too, that you have to go through the chair. So whenever someone wants to answer or ask a question, you have to go through the chair. And let me just tell you, if Senator Muhammad was sitting here, she would make sure that you're going through the chair, because she did that to me all the time. All right. Representative Young?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You said 50, but is that with the funding will be supporting 50, or is that what you have served, the amount of people you have served?
To the testifier.
Yes, so the amount of funding that we've requested would serve approximately 50 first responders through a full, the average amount of sessions our first responders go through before they feel that they are ready to you know, they feel in a position to stop is a between 16 and 24 sessions, average of 20. That allows us to give 50 first responders a full start to finish therapy with our highly trained staff and our thoroughbreds. We do see more than that. We get requests, multiple requests on a weekly basis to work with first responders, but this is a start.
Senator Jung, follow-up?
A representative.
Oh, I'm sorry. Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You didn't want me to demote you by calling you senator. I'm sorry. Representative.
You have another Senator Zong over there.
Oh, yeah, I do. That's true. And we do like him, too, by the way.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that with me. I appreciate the follow-up answer on that. Also, just wanted to say that to the former police officer, Northfield has a place in my heart because I went to school there. And so none of you pulled me over, so you know I don't have any bad stories from there. But I do appreciate your work in law enforcement. I have relatives who are in law enforcement, too, and I understand the mental impact on them, especially the last few years here. And so I just want to state for the record that we are not defunding the police. You know, we're actually doing a lot of work for our law enforcement agencies too. And so I appreciate you coming forward and being here today, sharing with me your program, because this is the first I've heard of. I know that Representative Cosnick, it was shared with me that Representative Cosnick carried this bill in the House, but we never heard it in our workforce committee. And so I just want to make sure that for the record we hear here in committee, and so that when we're on the floor, we vote on this bill again. If my members or my colleagues across the aisle throw a fit, I say, hey, we heard it from you. We heard in a conference committee. So thank you so much.
Representative Hassan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I underline Mr. thank you, guys. Thank you to the testifiers. As someone who, a lifetime ago was a mental health clinician, I appreciate the approach that you were trying to connect law enforcement and mental health, because for people who do the hardest job in the world, I'm always amazed the fact that not many of them are accessing mental health services, because the amount of trauma that you're exposed to in just a day's work, and you're supposed to tuck that in and just get up every morning and do this work again. I never understood. So thank you for trying to connect these two fields together, because I think that if anybody needs mental health services, it's our law enforcement individuals who are doing that work. So I appreciate that. I wish we did hear this bill in committee, and thank you, Chair Zhang, for asking all the questions, because it's important. And for me, at least, it's important to me to see that every field has access to mental health services. Every field has access to these resources if they need to. And maybe if our law enforcement had access more to mental health, there would be less police shooting, and there would be less accidents, and there would be more harmonious in the communities that we serve, that our law enforcement serve. So thank you, and thank you for sharing your story. It was very, very powerful, and thank you for your service.
And members, just so you're clear, one of the reasons why we thought it would be important for you to hear about this initiative is because one thing that you'll see that's a common thread through some of the proposals that we put forward is about recruitment, retention. What can we do to retain those who are in various professions, whether it's healthcare, whether it's whatever, right? But for there to be insight, and even though this has a public safety component to it, that's just a part of the work that they do. So we want to remove as many barriers as possible so that individuals feel like, I want to continue to be here and serve in a healthy way. Any additional questions for the testifiers? Representative Berg. I got it right that time.
Yes, you did. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just really quickly, I didn't mean to go after Chair Hassan.
No, you're right.
First of all, I'm from Northfield, so a lot of love there. I do just have a quick question. Are you seeing that this either prevents officers from going out on duty disability or brings them back? Because funding for duty disability is really precarious. We're trying to work it out in pensions. And so just wondering if we're seeing some success there so we can alleviate a little bit on that program as well as have our, you know, our officers back in doing what they love.
To the testifier.
Yes, to answer that question. Yes, we are seeing that. I actually, it's funny you bring that up. I actually just got a call from one of our officers we've been working with. He indicated that he was thinking about retiring. And he said, you know, I'm not going to. I have boots on the ground now. I feel grounded. I can continue to move forward. And that's awesome. Like, that's a success to keep him healthy. And then he can impact others in his community. So, yes.
Any additional questions for the testifiers? Seeing none, thank you so much. Thank you for your testimony. Thank you for your work. And we ask that you have a great day. Next person that we're going to will be, we have three people from the Power of People Leadership Institute, and maybe four, so come on up. Tierra Caldwell, Shane Price, Dr. Price, and then there's one other whose name escaped me, but they will certainly provide their name when they come forward. Once you get seated, whoever's going first, if you identify yourself for the record, that'd be great. And remember, it's going to be 2 minutes per testifier, and we will keep track of it. And once we get to the portion where the committee is asking you questions, if you're going to answer questions, just say your name again and then answer. We try to keep the record as clean as possible as well. With that being said, welcome to the committee, the Power of People Leadership Institute. And I believe that we're going to start with Shane Price.
Yes. Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
And if you talk a little more in that mic, because we want to make sure that we hear all the great stuff you say.
Sure. I'm Brother Shane Price from the Power of People Personal Development and Leadership Institute. We founded that organization together with my wife here, Dr. Verna Cornelia Price. We are 18 years old. Specifically, our program, our replanting program, has gone into four of the eight Minnesota State Correction facilities for the last 17 straight years. We provide training inside, so in pre-release. We provide follow-up on the outside. Some of that follow-up has to do, a lot of it has to do with employment. Some of it has to do with housing. Some of it has to do with social and emotional issues. I'm going to stop there and just let my wife introduce herself.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee. Thanks so much for having us today. My name is Dr. Verna Cornelia Price, and I'm the co-founder with my husband of the Power of People Leadership Institute, which we founded across our kitchen table and when our community asked us to please do something. And so we are truly a community-grown organic organization that came out of the call from our community, and they called us to help, and we did. And when they called us to help with men and women who were incarcerated, we said yes, we would go. And so we spent many, many years there doing that work. My husband would go in, and we would literally teach men, particularly over 6,000 of them have been impacted by our work. Our recidivism rate is less than 10%, and we would literally teach them how to change their lives while they were incarcerated. And then my role was simply to go and literally give a talk to them at the end of their graduation of the classes. But then we figured out that when they came home, they needed some things, and I'm going to turn it over now to our employment navigator, Tier Caldwell.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Tierra Caldwell. I'm the employment navigator with the Power of People Leadership Institute. I'm also formerly impacted, and what Power of People has been able to do for me is actually given me the opportunity to rehumanize people through employment. And, you know, people who are coming, you know, transitioning back into society, You know, I'm able to help them with housing, employment, college, getting enrolled, basically just whatever they need to transition and get their feet back on the ground. And, you know, Power of People, you know, we have about 70, a little under 70 on our caseload. And, you know, we've been able to provide employment to all of our participants through the Power of People Leadership Institute. And I just can't speak enough about how impactful the Power of People is. And we just ask for your support to further the work. Thank you.
And I noticed that you have another gentleman there. We want to give him an opportunity to say his name for the record and tell us a little bit about yourself for 2 minutes here.
Chair, Vice Chair, and Committee, thank you for having us here. My name is Moncies Franco, M-O-N-C-I-E-S. I am alumnus to the Power of People, and the impact that the teachings and the trainings that the Power of People has provided to me has been transformative to my life, mm-hmm. not only mine, but it is changing generational patterns within my family, and that's something to be noted, as I am a person impacted by the criminal legal system, as was my father, as was my brother, as was many members of my family. I'm currently a homeowner. I currently work at Hennepin Healthcare. I currently sit on 3 boards as a director, serving the communities that I come from. And I couldn't have done it without the, not just the wraparound services that are exterior, but the internal services that are provided and personal development that have helped me reach the level where I can contribute back to my community. I'm asking you to support the Power of People in moving forward economically so we can further develop more me's in the line of work that Power of People is committed to.
I want to say this and then we can answer, get some questions answered. I remember when we did just recently pass Restore the Vote. They were very active and POP, they call themselves POP, right? You know, they're very active in making sure that their folks that they've been working with in the community, even those they started with inside the facilities and transitioning out, just walking with them and just making sure that they have employment opportunities and services. And sometimes just being there if people get a little down and out, right, just to know that there's someone else that's with them. So they were very instrumental, and now not only are they in our community working, paying taxes and raising families, but now they also have the right to vote. And so for us, that's also important. So with that, any questions for the testifiers? Representative Young.
Thank you, Chair Champion. I just wanted to note that, well, first of all, thank you all for being here today to share your stories. I know that Representative Cedric Frazier had brought the bill in the House, but it came in last minute, so we did not have a chance to hear this bill. And so for you to be here today on this short notice to share your story and how this funding will support the community, I really appreciate it. Mr. Chair, also want to thank you for bringing this bill to my attention, too. And I look forward to working with you to ensure that we fund programs like these so that we can get all of our Minnesotans back in the right track.
And just, you know, Representative Frazier was here earlier today. I saw him, you know, come in, and I heard that they were going to be here today, so he certainly wanted to do that. And thank you, Representative Young, for just being open and thoughtful and just the other line items that you have in the bill as well. Any other questions for Representative Hassan?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not a question. I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. We know that our criminal justice system is anything but just justice. There is a lot of injustice in our system and a lot of biases. And we know that, you know, black and brown folks are, you know, disservices in this system. So to have somebody on the outside to help you, support you, be there for you, you know, show you the way and welcome you back to the community is very important, and the name alone says a lot, Power of the People. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'll say this lastly, but Dr. Verna Price, who is co-founder along with her husband, they do a number of different things, and the only initiative that we are considering is the employment notion of reentry and all that good stuff. But she also has another group called Girls Taking Action. Now, you know, Beyonce would be happy, you know, but But it used to be Girls in Action, and then they changed it to Girls Taking Action. And they have a cross-section of young ladies all throughout the state that they do things with in schools so that they don't see the criminal justice system, so they can see themselves going to college or VOTEC school, whatever it is, right? And so I just wanted to throw that out there because I always think it's important for us to know of the other great work that people are doing, and they're doing great things.
Who runs the world?
Girls? Any other questions from the committee? Thank you so much for being with us on a last-minute basis, and I so sincerely appreciate it. Now we're going to Lisa Clemens with the Mother's Love and Jerry McAfee from 21 Days of Peace, and they're coming up together because the initiative that they have, you guys want to come or you're thinking about it? You know, they're back there like, okay, passing notes. And so they will go up there. Again, one of the things as they're taking their seats that we often try to do is think about a number of initiatives where it has a dual purpose. One, a purpose for the individual who is the employee and how they can develop, but also how that healthy process helps the end user as well and the people they're talking to. And so this initiative, as you hear, isn't just not in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, in Rochester. They have it all around, and it's the activation of churches and other folks in order to make sure that they're working also not just only in the community but with police as well, because it's the collaboration. So with that being said, I believe that Lisa, are you going first, Ms. Clemens?
He always make me go first.
And so Lisa Clemens, if you identify yourself for the record, who you were, tell us a little bit about Mother's Love, what you do, and about your initiative, and then we'll go to Reverend Jerry McAfee once you are finished. Ms. Clemens.
Thank you, Chair, Champion, and esteemed members. My name is Lisa Clemens. I'm the CEO and founder of a Mother's Love initiative. While we are housed in North Minneapolis, we go anywhere in the state that we're requested, especially in the surrounding suburbs and in St. Paul. Our goal is to put people to work. Our goal has three things attached to it. It's employment, education, and empowerment. We do boots on the ground work, and that's how we figured out the different things that's needed in our communities. And it's not one thing that's needed, it's many different things that's needed. So we had to bring the type of programming to the people that the people were looking for. Our objective is to reduce recidivism rates through employment. Our objective is to build stable housing through employment. And what we found, the biggest piece that needed to be addressed before anybody could do any of those things was grief and trauma. I was excited to hear them up here talking about police. I am a retired police officer from the Minneapolis Police Department, and I say that with great pride. But the things that I saw in my work is exactly what I see within the different communities now that I'm boots on the ground doing this work out here. We can't do this work alone. As you see all of the speakers who came before you, we all recognize that we need to make sure that these other focuses have better outcomes.
And I recognize that, Ms. Clemens, not only do you do this work in the community all around, but you also have a Girls Rock leadership program. You also have a Boys to Men leadership program.
That's correct.
And then you also have what I see here is a Mother's Love Initiative, a tutor house program.
That's correct. We tutor kids from kindergarten to sixth grade, mostly those who are a year or so behind, but we don't turn any kids away. We have a 25-kid maximum, but if 26 kids come, we will welcome the 26th kid.
And with that, we're going to go to Reverend Jerry McAfee, and then the committee will be able to ask them both questions at any time. Reverend Jerry McAfee.
Thank you. Jerry McAfee, Salem, Inc., 21 Days of Peace. We were been in, moving for about 30-some years now, but 2 years ago, in answer to some of the violence that was going on in the community and the shortage of police, we created a partnership with the 4th Precinct and others as a response to whatever hot spots we had in the community. We put together a group of people, cross-section of churches, masjids, agencies, etc., to occupy that area for over 20-some days, but resource with information. How many people can we get treatment? How many jobs, housing, etc.? The first year that we were moving, we had 18% turnaround in the crime on Broadway and Lindale, 68% turnaround on Lindale and 36, 100% turnaround on Penn and 36, and 100% turnaround on Lowry as well as Logan. On downtown, last year from May to December, we had 2,460 resources provided, 213 referrals, housing for 10. And then on this year alone, so far, we've been able to employ or get 184 people employed with from $17 to $27 an hour, because we understand that many times when young men and women are on the block, is for economic purposes. So if we can meet some of those needs by one, doing direct intervention, because somewhere along the line, somebody in our circle and in our group know them, and as many times it just takes somebody intervening and talking to them.
Reverend Jerry McAfee, you talk a lot about Minneapolis. Do you have any work outside of Minneapolis? I think that you do some work also in St. Paul here with some
21 days, Mr. Chair, 21 days apiece also have been operating downtown St. Paul for the last 2 years as well. We don't always have all of the data on St. Paul because of different, we don't have the staffing for it, but every day, 5 days a week, we have people out in St. Paul as well. I did make the initial contact on this past Friday for St. Cloud, and talking with them to establish the 21 Days of Peace model in St. Cloud, along with someone that I have to always drag, a mother's love.
And the reason why they're together, because they do a lot of work together. And so, like for an example, Ms. Clemens have told me if she's been at some violence site, and if some young men or whoever wasn't behaving in a way that she would think would be appropriate, she then placed a call to Reverend McAfee, who comes over immediately to sort of help. But it's even when it comes to their initiatives and training young women and young men, there's the development of the employee, the young person, and also a resource, finding resources for the end user as well. Is there anything else, any other questions from any member of the committee? Representative Jean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to both the testifiers. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the community. Mr. Chair, I know you met my wife, but I'm sure with you that she actually grew up on the north side in your district. I think she was born there, too.
That's why you fell in love with
that's
her.
That's right. And so I have a lot of family members who live in North Minneapolis and Peace. I know that the community there needs a lot of support, and I appreciate the work that you're doing. And so if you both mentioned that around workforce that you have been working with community members to get them jobs, can you share, both of you share a little bit more about the types of jobs and the types of support you're giving, helping folks to get jobs?
So either one of the testifiers, Reverend Backley, you want to go first or Ms. Clemens?
Chair, sure. You want to go?
Certainly, Mr. Chair. Many of the jobs we have been in warehousing, medical assembly, Minneapolis Public Schools, janitorial, CDL drivers, box trucks, Amazon, as well as I do housing. And so I hire some to try to get them to light construction. And then we also hire some of the very ones who caused some of the issues that have seen a way of doing some things differently, to employ them to go back to the areas that they came from, since they know them, to help us then bring peace to that area and then help them move towards different, more stable employment than me, to home ownership, et cetera.
Ms. Clemens?
Can I add this, Chair, Champion, esteemed members? We employ people within a mother's love and within 21 Days of Peace. But if I can say this, 21 Days of Peace does not mean what it says. 21 Days of Peace starts out for 21 days, but it extends much longer than that. But we do also employ people who We have put through training ourselves. We paid for it. Phlebotomists, CNAs, whatever it is they want to do, we try to make that dream come true for them as one of their goals. But that does not take away from Walmart, Target, if someone just simply needs a job, especially our youth.
Any other questions for the testifiers? CNN, thank you for all the work you do, and thank you for your testimony. And I know, Ms. Clemens, that you need to be someplace else, but you made provisions to be here, and I sincerely appreciate it, and I'm sure that the committee appreciates it as well.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
We will now go to Reverend Alfred Babington Johnson, who is the CEO of the Stairstep Foundation, that's going to come up and talk about employment around the middle is what I like to call it. And so if once you are seated, Reverend Alfred Babington Johnson, if you could talk a little bit about you, Stairstep, and then this initiative that you are involved in and why it is important.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, committee members. My name is Alfred Babington Johnson, and I am the CEO and founder of the Stairstep Foundation. And Stairstep, which I founded in 1992, is focused on what I think is the key issue of our time, and that's the breakdown of community. We define community as the way people behave when they believe they belong together. Regrettably, we've entered into a siloed, adversarial kind of society, and that's not what serves people. And those who have least access to power and resources are those who experience the greatest negative outcomes for breakdown of community. The specific program that we were talking about today, in talking about that, I reflect on a song that I heard in my youth, and it was, why do you do the things you do, do, do? Why do you do the things you do? It's a fair question. Why do we do what we do? Yeah. In point of fact, this particular program is focused on the fact that too many people in our community have a sense of low horizons, dim prospects, and as a consequence, bad outcomes. And so the question is, how do we address that? And we try to address everything in ways that have multiple bottom lines. But the issue of low prospects is often because people don't think they have a vision of their future, something they can do that moves them forward, moves their family forward. So we focus in that, an area that many of you are aware of called middle skills. Between the issue of just coming out of high school and then going for advanced degrees, are there other kinds of skills that you might activate in your life that take you to a better place? And so in providing folk with an opportunity, not necessarily everybody that's in the very critical crisis of their life, but generally in our community, can we reach into the community and allow people to know that you might think that flipping burgers is all that's available in your life? But as we look at your skill sets, $17 an hour, how about 25 to 27 as a pharmacist assistant as you apply these skills differently? So middle skills. But I want to share with you that it's important what you do, and it's also important how you do it. So we very intentionally recognize that the issues of our people, of our entire society, have to be solved not just individually, but collectively in some fashion. How do we activate the institutions of our community in ways that moves us forward? So we, since 1995, have been convening African-American churches in a group we call His Works United, comprised of every denomination of our community and across denominations. And so we deliver whatever service we do, whether that's vaccinations during COVID or these middle skills programs, through the church network, with an intentionality of connecting people to what they may have thought was irrelevant in the past, the African-American church, to a way that, oh, the church is relevant, can help me to solve my issues. That also elevates that value voice. And we desperately need that in this day and time. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and I would hope that you would support this.
So again, just so that we're clear, it's the middle skills program where there'd be an activation of and training and supporting folks in the middle skills area.
Exactly.
Any questions for Alfred Babington Johnson? CNN, Thank you so very much. We appreciate you and all the work that you continue to do. And as next group that is coming forward is going to be represented by former State Senator Jeff Hayden. He's not a part of the group directly, but one of the things that we talked about is if there could be a representative that could come and talk on behalf of the group if they can't be here. Makram El Amin, who has the masjid in Minneapolis, he is out of town in Washington, D.C. So Senator Hayden knows about the program and works with him, and the program was initially always called North at Work. And if we had funded it before, it's always been funded. First, we funded it through the Minneapolis Foundation, but it's the same people who are involved in it still remain. And then it was, and then it went to the Center for Economic Inclusion, which is Tawana Black, because she used to be with Minneapolis Foundation and the others, and now they have it here. So, Jeff Hayden, if you'd be so kind as to identify yourself for the record. This is so interesting for me to be on this side and telling him what to do on that side. So, if you identify yourself for the record, tell us a little bit about North at Work. And then the committee will ask you some questions where they believe it's appropriate. Jeff Hayden.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Chair Hassan. It is so good to see all of you sitting on this side. My name is Jeff Hayden. I'm a government relations specialist for the firm of Frederickson and Byron. Happy birthday to Senator Mohammed, though I will look at the chair to see that there was a difference in protocol that we allowed a public demonstration while the Senate had the gavel, but I guess the rules have changed over time since I was sitting in this room. But back to the matter in front of us. Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Al Mahoun, and if I'm mispronouncing that, please let me know, is led by Makram El Amin, that has been operating North at Work since 2018. As Senator Champion articulated, they were a subcontractor with the Center for Economic Inclusion that was founded by Tawana Black. The idea was to build public partnerships and private sector funders, employers, employment service organizations, and community and faith organizations, as well as a local and regional government agencies. The goal of North at Work is to revitalize the system of employment training, hiring, and the retention of African-American men in North Minneapolis in order to address both regional talent shortage and a disproportionately high number of underemployed African-American men, and to look at its impacts that it's had on their families and communities. North at Work continues to be a Black-led peer action network of community-based employment service organizations who offer work readiness, training, credentials, support services, job placement opportunities, and healthcare, commercial driving, construction, and IT to Black men and Black folks living in the community adjacent or in North Minneapolis. This is done with the partnership with the Center of Economic Inclusion. These services are complemented by employer services, including work around racial equity, inclusion, belonging training, coaching, consulting services to support the needs of employers working to transform their workplaces and become a racially inclusive, equitable, and furthermore, a place where all people's experiences belong. Additionally, we have successful partnered with employers to provide temporary employment that will lead to full-time employment. We partner with places like the Minneapolis Public Schools and the school districts in Dayton and Rogers. These partnerships have allowed access to family sustainable wages that participants have been unable to access on their own. Participants continue to be trained and receive certifications in CDL, IT, and construction. We are looking forward to adding food service training and boiler license training that provides greater marketability and commands a higher wages in the open job market. In order to achieve this goal, Mr. Chair, we are seeking a direct support of $1 million over 2 years to expand the number of participants and staffing for greater impact. Once again, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, thanks so much for your time and consideration today.
Any questions for I almost said Senator Hayden, for Jeff Hayden? Representative Zhang.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Hayden, can you just share with us briefly how many people has this organization served and how many will be served through this funding?
Senator Hayden.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Zhang. I am frantically looking through the notes that were provided for me, and I don't know if I have that handy, but we will certainly get that to you in the committee in real time.
Any additional questions? Representative Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick question. I'm both surprised and fascinated by the fact that you or this organization has expanded to Dayton and Rogers. That's a bit of an unexpected geographical area. Could you just explain the reason for that?
Yeah, you know, well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. I appreciate that question. Once again, I'm not sure. I don't want to go out on a limb. I would just suggest that, as we know throughout the state and throughout the region, that it is becoming more and more diverse. As I look at the wonderful group that is in front of us today that wasn't there 14 years ago when I started. So I would suspect that there are family members and others that have shown up in the western suburbs and other parts. But I will ask Mr. Elamine that question and make sure that he writes you and CCs the committee moving forward.
Any additional questions? One thing that is really important about North at Work and what I can attest to is the importance of creating a pathway for black men to have family-sustaining wage jobs. You know, when you think in terms of every disparity that we can think of, whether it's health, wealth, education, the common denominator is poverty. Like, what do we do in order to lift them out of poverty? And the only reason why I'm saying black men is because it's in the context of this bill. This is important in our Asian and Hmong community. This is important in our Somali community and other East African areas, right? So and West, right? So to me, it's important for us to understand that this is a very tailored and very specific and very focused initiative that benefits not just North Minneapolis, even those called North at Work. The men are not only from North Minneapolis. So I just wanted to make sure that we were clear about that as well. Any additional questions for Mr. Hayden? And Mr. Hayden, I must tell you that I almost gaveled you down because you started talking without waiting for me to recognize you. And I had it up right here and I was positioning myself because I wanted to get you really quick. But no, that's okay.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I wore my bow tie today just up for you. And thank you once again, members, for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Hayden. Appreciate it. We are now going to Shira. Adan?
Yeah.
All right. Come on up from Central Minnesota Community Empowerment Organization. We are happy to have you all as well. And when you get a moment, have a seat. And then whoever's going to testify first, identify yourself for the record and give us your 2 minutes of testimony, then we'll go to the next testifier, and then the committee will ask you a couple questions. Thank you so much again, and welcome to the committee.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Chair Champion, Chair Hassan, and members of the conference committee. My name is Shirwa Adan. I am the Executive Director of Central Minnesota Community Empowerment Organization, also known as CMCO. CMCO is a nonprofit that provides advocacy and direct service delivery for PIPA community in St. Cloud area, especially providing services to immigrant population. CMCO supports nearly 10,000 households throughout central Minnesota each year. This appropriation bill is key for CMCO to continue developing and expanding its services, impacting thousands of households annually. For nearly a decade, CMCO has been a close partner with two local organizations, Career Solutions, which is a local workforce for Stearns and Benton County, so this agency, as well as Ohio Works Collaborative with Pastor Albert. Like the Twin Cities, Central Minnesota is rapidly becoming more diverse with people of color, refugees, and immigrants. Over 50% of St. Cloud School District is students of color. Here I have Abdul with me. Abdul, Abdul left school at a young age, and we have that experience with many of our young people in communities of color. And with the support of Career Solutions and CMCO, we have supported him to get his GED and go to college. Abdul works at a CMCO community center and will be graduating from the technical college in the next few months with an associate degree in cybersecurity. My organization and our partners help individuals navigate a variety of challenges by advocating and connecting them to resources. We're thankful for Senator Champion and Senator Putnam for working with us and including a grant for our organization in their bill for this work. We understand that Representative Hassan has also similar provisions in her bill. We ask that you include this appropriation for our organizations in your final bill so we can continue this important work. Again, thank you for allowing me to speak with you on behalf of the people that we serve. Thank you again.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your testimony. Are you ready to testify, or are you just with us?
Yeah, I'm just with them.
Oh, just giving them more support.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that, too. That's important to have support, and thank you for coming down. Any questions of the testifiers? Senator Gustafson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to say, you know when somebody says that they're from an area where you're from and then you feel like you need to speak up and be like, hey, I'm from there, too. I am from central Minnesota. I'm from Sartell. And this is, I think, the second group to come in here today from central Minnesota. And I just wanted to say welcome. It's really nice to have you here. I'm a high school history teacher, so I'm really happy to see you brought a student with you. And, you know, we did hear you in the Senate committee, and I hope the House, you know, picks up this as well. It's a really good idea. And anyways, welcome and thank you for being here.
Any additional comments or questions? Well, I want to tell you thank you as well. And Senator Putnam, I believe, was one who really pushed this as well. And we thank you for being here. Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you so very much, and we appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Members, that concludes the testimony today that we wanted to do. This is something that Representative Young and I talked about, wanted to make sure that these organizations could come before the committee. These were, again, organizations not heard on the House side, but we wanted to give you an opportunity to ask some questions because they're all included on the Senate side. And so now with that, we're going to go to our same and similar. Oh, before I do that, the deed commissioner is with us, Mr. McKinnon. I often refer to him as the TC. He's going to come and provide us some testimony and tell us things that you want us to know. And we so appreciate you being here and all the work that you've been doing. So once you're settled, please feel free to identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Champion, Chair Hassan, and conferees. My name is Kevin McKinnon. I am the temporary commissioner of deed. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to testify here today. I do want to extend my gratitude to both of you and your committees for the hard work that you did in creating these omnibus bills. As you know, the governor's budget did make recommendations to invest in Minnesota's economic future by recruiting and retaining workers, helping employers to grow their businesses, and making sure Minnesota is creating the jobs of the future. The budget you created makes similar investments in childcare, growing our workforce, and business investment and technical assistance. Your budget also invests in workforce training programs focused on decreasing disparities, establishing a new Office of New Americans, preparing more youth to enter the workforce, and creating more inclusive workplaces. However, I have a number of considerations I want to share with you on behalf of the administration. In the business community development area, if the conference committee funds the targeted community capital program found in the House bill, I would strongly encourage you to define equitably divide in the statutory language to provide clarity in the statute about the legislative intention. If the conference committee funds the community wealth building program and the emerging developer account in the House bill, it would be beneficial also to name a grantee or grantees with the capacity to undertake these activities rather than establishing a new competitive grant program. If the conference committee funds the Empowering Enterprise Program found in the House bill, the agency suggests revisions that would provide greater clarity and improve the program's impact, such as consider redefining the grant program to change the grant award limits based on business revenues with multiple grant limits based on business revenue size, establishing geographic boundaries in which funding awards can be made to provide the needed clarity for the program, and strike the exemptions in 71.6 and 71.7 as these are the state's grant-making requirements to provide oversight and monitoring and protections. As the conference committee considers the Promise Act, the agency also suggests following revisions to provide greater clarity, clarifying the funding distribution between our McKnight Initiative Foundations. The agency suggests adding grant limits based on business revenues with multiple grant limits based on business and revenue size. And for the loan program, it should be noted that the loan limits are below the funding level requested by community developers to have optimum community impacts. As it relates to administrative funding, there are a lot of programs through here, and many of these programs will require administrative funding to provide adequate oversight and monitoring of the program. I strongly do encourage you to consider providing those resources, obviously at the agency level, but also to our partners to enable them to do this work. We do appreciate that the House and Senate both fund the MIF childcare grants, but suggest adding clarifying language around the distribution of funding between the MIFs. And we encourage the conference committee to take the Senate language, which adds clarifying language to the Destination Medical Center provisions around the state transit aid. The House includes the Destination Medical Center provision, but does not include this clarifying language. As it relates to the Minnesota Forward Fund, our budget recommendations were shared by both the House and the Senate, as both bills included the funding intended to maximize both the CHIPS Act and other federal resources. We do look forward to discussing the $500 million set aside for these federal resource and economic development matches. In our employment and training programs area, we appreciate that the House and Senate have both created the new Office of the Office of New Americans in their respective bills. And I did send some clarifying edits to the policy language around to members in our letter. We would also encourage, as it relates to our youth build program, the conference committee to take the House language that amends section 116L365 to align the state program with the federal youth build program. In our vocational rehab rehabilitation area, the House bill included language for the extended employment program that would require an annual growth factor adjustment of no less than 3% for providers of extended employment services for persons with severe disabilities. The extended employment program is one of many critical programs the agency runs that provides employment services to people with disabilities. This language would put extended employment rate increases at the front of the line when funding increases are considered for programs, no matter what the demand, the economy, the federal leverage, or other considerations may be. Instead, I would urge you to consider rate increases for this program alongside other considerations as part of the biennial budget process and strike that provision. The House and Senate bills also included a funding increase for our state services for the blind, which will maximize the program's federal match and enable the program to expand our services to reach more individuals who are blind, visually impaired, deafblind, or have print-related disability. However, the House did not include that funding in the tails. This funding is necessary to fully draw down the program's federal fund allocation. Senator Champion, Representative Hassan, thank you again for the opportunity to address the committee, and I look forward to continuing the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, for being here. Any questions for the Commissioner? Thank you for your detailed analysis, and we look forward to working with you as an important partner in getting this bill finalized.
Thank you.
All right. Members, any additional issues before we go to the same and similar? If not, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Representative Hassan, who's going to take us through a number of same and similar provisions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to make sure that everyone has the sheet that we're going to go over.
This is the same and similar that we were supposed to adopt yesterday, but we were recessed and everybody got busy. So the first one is Rep. Nelson moves adoption of the Senate Section 1 on page R1 of the side-by-side for deed policy. Oh, awesome. Nelson, sorry. Okay, all right. I need to go eat lunch. That's what I need to do. Representative Olson moves the adoption of the Senate Section 1 on page R1 of the side-by-side for deed policy. Is there a discussion on that? All right, so all those in favor of adopting Senate Section 1, page R1 of the side-by-side for deed policy, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. The next one, Representative Berg moves the adoption of the Senate Sections 3 and 4 on page R5 of the side-by-sides for deed policy. Discussion on that? All those in favor of the adopting the Berg motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The Berg motion is adopted. Representative Zhang moves the adoption of Senate Section 7 through 10 on page R11 of the side-by-side for deed policy. Discussion on that? And if I'm going too fast, people can tell me to slow down. All right. All those in favor of adopting Rep. Zhang's motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? And that motion prevails. Representative Nelson moves the adoption of the Senate Section 11 on page R16 of the side-by-sides for the deed policy. And on that motion, we're only adopting half of that language. Any discussion on that? Nope. All right. All those in favor of adopting Chair Nelson's motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion prevails. And Representative Nelson's motion is adopted. Senator, okay. Chair Champion moves that adoption of House Sections 8 through 11 on page R28 of the side-by-side for economic development policy. Discussion on that?
And that's my motion, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right. All those in favor of Chair Champion's motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion prevails. And, Senator Champion's motion is adopted. Representative Olson moves adoption of section, Senate section 17 through 18 on page R32 of the side-by-side for deed policy. Is there a discussion on that? All those in favor of adopting Representative Olson's motion, please say aye.
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 All those opposed, motion prevails. And, Representative Olson's motion is adopted. The next one is Representative Berg. moves the adoption of the Senate Section 19 on page R33 of the side-by-sides for deed policy. Is there a discussion on that? All those in favor of adopting the Representative Burke's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, motion prevails. And that motion is adopted. Judge Chang moves adoption of the Senate Section 24 on page R42 of the side-by-side for deed policy. Discussion on that motion?
All those in favor of Representative Zhang's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and Chair Zhang's motion is adopted. Representative Nelson moves adoption of Senate sections 2 through 4 on page R48 of the side-by-side for deed policy. Any discussion on that? All those in favor of adopting Representative Nelson's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. And Representative Nelson's motion is adopted. Representative Austin moves the adoption of the Senate Section 7 on page R54 of the side-by-side for the policy. Discussion on that motion. All those in favor of adopting Representative Olson's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and that was adopted. Representative Berg moves adoption of the Senate Section 2 through 4 and Sections 6 to 8, Section 10, Section 11, and Section 31 on page R1, R2, R4 and R18 of the side-by-sides of the labor policies. Their discussion on that. All right. All those in favor of adopting Representative Berg's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. And Representative Berg's motion is adopted. Zhou Zhang moves adoption of the Senate Section 9 on page R3 of the side-by-sides for labor policy. Discussion on this motion. All right. All those in favor of adopting Representative Zhang's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and Representative Zhang's motion is adopted. Representative Nelson moves adoption of the Senate sections 19 through 20, page R10 of the side-by-side for labor policy. Discussion on the motion. No discussion? All right. All those in favor of adopting Representative Nelson's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and Representative Nelson's motion is adopted. Representative Austin, Senator McQueen, do you have a question? Sorry, I'm looking down, I'm not looking up.
Oh, not at all. Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just reading through the list as we were going through them, and I wanted to make sure that we had adopted. It seemed to me that we had skipped the third item under the labor policy. It was sections 12 through 17. I think that we didn't. I think we skipped over that one and went to that next one. I just wanted to make sure we did it.
You didn't get there.
So it's my understanding that Senator Champion and I had a conversation earlier that we were going to skip two items on that. The
department has changes.
The department has some change, okay. So we're skipping. I don't have. This is the updated one, but I don't have the older version. But we are skipping two items on that we're not adopting. So.
Yep. Thank you.
From the request of the department, and we talked about that earlier before we started.
Very good. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Now where was I? This one? Representative Nelson? Okay, Olson motion. Okay. All right. Representative Olson moves the adoption of the Senate sections 21 through 24 and 28 on page R11 and R16 of the side-by-side for labor policy. Discussion on that. I'll make sure that I look up and make sure someone doesn't have a question. All right. All those in favor of adopting Representative Olson's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. All right. The motion prevails, and Representative Olson's motion is adopted. Last but not least, Chair Zhang moves adoption of the Senate's sections 29 on page R16 of the side-by-sides for the labor policy. Is there discussion on that? All right.
All those in favor of adopting Chair Chang's motion, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay. Motion prevails, and Representative Chang's motion is adopted. With that, I'm giving the gavel back to the chair.
Thank you, Representative Hassan, and thank you for walking us through that. Any questions about anything? The only thing we have to determine is what time that we're going to meet tomorrow.
1 o'clock.
It's 1 o'clock tomorrow, so please be here on time. And I'm hoping that my colleagues will not be on extended time tomorrow, and they'll be ready to join us at this time. No, we laughed about you guys when you were not here. All of them were filled over here, and then all the chairs were empty over there.
In other words, he took shots at you.
So 1 o'clock tomorrow, the committee is adjourned.